day, a very dim day in the not too distant past, where I thought maybe by show 500 that I would have completed this series. I remember during that time, I said something like, what a confluence of time and space it would be if I finished the show around the 2-year anniversary of the show and show 500. I thought that would be at the perfect confluence. Well, here we are, show 500, and we're on chapter 18. Have we got to 18 yet? We might still be on 17. I'm not sure. We're still at it. So, and the 2-year anniversary was last week. So I'm not driving for a terminus here, because I have the through mentality, which I've been heralding to you using running as an example of it. I've been heralding that to you for some time now, and I'm applying it to this show. So it's no big deal that I'm on show 500. It's just show 500. Yeah, it's a tad impressive. It's a hallmark to consistency, or of consistency. So I'm thankful that God has caused me to be this consistent with the show, to keep going, to forge ahead. And that's what we are going to do. We're going to forge ahead. So we're going to look now at the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is a nice little piece of fictitious literature. But amazingly, it's what's happening. So whoever forged it had a sense that it was happening. And I think the difference between what was happening and this document is that somebody got the idea that the Jews were doing this on purpose, and that there was a vast Jewish conspiracy. And I am not willing to buy into that. It may be true, but I'm not willing to look into it or to buy into it. It's not necessary, because it's happening anyway, apart from intention. Intention doesn't really play into this, because no matter whether the Jews intend to or not, they saw the entertainment industry as a great business to buy into, to make lots of money, and to capitalize on the Gentiles' lust for pleasure. And that's just what they've done. And it's a capitalistic society, so more power to anybody who wants to, you know, when you're playing Monopoly, you want to buy Boardwalk and Park Place. You want both of them, so then you can build houses on them and hotels, so that you can charge people for landing on your property. And when they land there, they have to stay somewhere, so they go into the little plastic green hotel on your blue grass of Boardwalk. Hey, I'm all for it. Great. Unfortunately, if I land on that and you have a hotel on Boardwalk, I'm going to owe you $2,000. I might not have it. Okay, then I'm out of the game and I have to go stay at the Motel 6. That's life. That's life. I'm good with it. Structure and content of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. This is from Wikipedia. The protocols purport to document the minutes of a late 19th century meeting attended by world Jewish leaders, the Elders of Zion, who are conspiring to take over the world. And again, I'm not treating this as factual. I'm treating it as what now seems to be, is the case. It's a forgery. The forgery places in the mouths of the Jewish leaders a variety of plans, most of which derive from older anti-Semitic canards. Aren't canards ducks? Anti-Semitic ducks? Ducks can be against the Jews? Okay, that's a new one to me.
I don't like the Jews. Affleck.
Affleck's probably owned by Jews. That's what that is. Okay. For example, the protocols includes plans to subvert the morals of the non-Jewish world. Okay. It's a forgery. Plans to subvert the non-Jewish world. Whether that was planned or not, that is what's happening. The non-Jewish world's morals are being subverted. There is no question about that. By all the killing that people do on video games. Video games involve guns and shooting, many of them, and I can't stand it. I just can't stand it. Blood flying over everywhere, body parts. It's just, to me, El Sicko. I don't understand it. I don't like it. And I think it subverts the morals. It really makes people immune. I read in the book The Four Arguments for the Elimination of Television. Remember, I think Jerry Mander wrote that book. It's really a fantastic book, probably still for sale. It's called four arguments for the elimination of television. And it's so right on. And if the television was gone, as I believe it will be in the kingdom, remember I told you, people think that when we go back in the kingdom to what they call a primitive way of life, Martin, all the cities are going to be knocked down. And people are going to be riding donkeys again and horses, and there's going to be no internet. Is there, Martin? Oh, I say no. God help us. No internet. No, things are going to go back to normal. The Garden of Eden had no internet. The Garden of Eden had no cell phones. The Garden of Eden had no reality television or The Price is Right or Family Feud. No, no. But I venture to say that if any of you could go back to the Garden of Eden and experience it for a day. No, an hour. No, a minute. You would stay there and prefer it to this madhouse, this insane asylum, where the patients have gotten hold of the asylum. I mean, we are living in a madhouse where lunatics are in charge. So, yes, the morals of the non-Jewish world is subverted, are subverted. And not to say that the Jews are not subverted, but this is like a situation where the perpetrator stays sober, relatively sober, while the victim of this worldwide debauch are becoming drunk. So the protocols includes plans to subvert the morals of the non-Jewish world, plans for Jewish bankers to control the world's economies. Fact. That's a fact. Plans for Jewish control of the press. That is a fact. Whether they sat down in the 19th century or not, maybe they did, but they didn't write this protocol. It could be that this meeting actually happened and somebody maybe scribbled it on a notepad. And so a few people talked about it at one time. They got together and thought, do you see what's happening? I wonder if this is going to be the end result. Somebody maybe got wind of it, secondhand word of mouth, and they decided to make a formal document based on the facts of what was happening. And they purported then to say, or they did say, that this document was a result of a late 19th century meeting attended by world Jewish leaders. And then they gave it the snappy title, The Elders of Zion, just to make it sound very ominous. And it's ominous enough. It is ominous. But again, I don't think it has to have a conspiratorial face on it. But this is it. Plans for Jewish control of the press and ultimately plans for the destruction of civilization. Oh, that's out there. Let's destroy civilization. Why would you do that? Because you would end up destroying yourselves. Any good Jew knows that civilization is not going to be destroyed, but rather controlled by the Jews. Maybe that's the ultimate plan. The document consists of 24 protocols, and I'm going to read them for you, which have been analyzed by Stephen Jacobs and Mark Weitzman, who documented several recurrent themes that appear repeatedly in the 24 protocols as shown in the following table. Now, I'm going to go through these with you because this is where we are in the book of Revelation, the cup of intoxicant, of an intoxicating beverage called wine in the vision that is given to the hands of the Jews that makes the whole world drunk. That's why we're here. That's what we've been doing. The whole Solomon sidetrack was all about keeping you from the false notion that being accepted by the world and straining and panting and jumping through hoops to be liked by as many people as possible on Facebook or wherever is vanity, is striving after the wind. And the best that you can do is to attend to God, in the quiet of your own home. As Jesus said, when Mary and Martha, the sisters, were before him, Martha's trying to impress him, making the lunch of the year. She is probably has a cooking show, and she is mixing up a bouillabaisse that would, you know, knock the socks off of any Frenchman. And Jesus appreciates good food. He likes bouillabaisse. He's good with chopped cucumbers. He likes napkins folded into the shapes of swans, but he really doesn't need it. And he wasn't going to say anything to Martha until she had the audacity to criticize her sister Mary for not being as crazy as she was. It's like, if you want to make the napkin in the shape of a swan, if you're really that anal and hyper and OCD, then go ahead. You know, it's pretty. We like it. It's more extraordinary than the average everyday napkin. But don't get any crazy idea, please, that your call's the best one. So when, as soon as Mary or Martha complained, "Lord, tell my sister to help me. It's so hard making these napkins into swans, even while I keep the bouillabaisse heated." Bouillabaisse, that's a French thing, isn't it? I remember it. We talked about that in French class back in high school. "I got to keep this stirring over here. I have to make the napkins over here, and I'm slicing and dicing cucumbers over here." And all the cucumbers, if you notice, guys, are the same width. They're all evenly sliced because I just invented this new slicer and dicer. It slices, it dices, it chops, it cuts, it does so many wonderful things. And I'll tell you what, if you two act right now, I'm going to throw in an apple corer. Yes, I invented. Okay, on and on you go. Sorry, Martha, but it's not the best call. Jesus said Mary has chosen the better call, which is what? She sat at his feet and listened to his teaching. That's the eventual conclusion of Solomon, even though he applies it to the law. Just do what God says. In other words, my interpretation of that, the modern interpretation in an era of no law, would be attend to the Lord. Paul would say, become rooted and grounded in the truth, come to a realization of the truth. That's what Paul would say. Same type of conclusion. Paul would say, like Solomon, use the world, just don't use it up. Don't go crazy like our friend Solomon back there. So here we go. Number one, the basic doctrine, right lies in might. That's ugly. Right lies in might. In other words, if you're strong, the stronger you become, the righter you become, the more right you become. That is horrific. But that's what people think today. They think that more powerful I get, the more I matter in the world. The more I'm liked, the more I matter, the more I exist. People want to know they exist. Right lies in might, and the more mighty you become. That's horrible. Number two, economic war and disorganization lead to international government. That is so true. See, these things are going to be a window into the one world order, because whoever drafted these protocols sure had some amazing insight into how the one world government will actually come into power. Economic war and disorganization leads to international government. And again, I am not saying, many of the conspiracy people say that the government plans wars. You know, I think that's ludicrous. I'm sorry. You're laughing out there, all the conspiracy people. They're so naive. Hey, you know, maybe you're naive. You ever think of that? Maybe you're naive to think that people are that smart. You know, people are that smart. I'm not saying that some things might happen which help wars along, but now I take this on a case-by-case basis. I did say before that I think the global warming is a hoax that is causing a global solution to a problem that has been made up. But I'm not even willing to say the problem has been made up. It's a pseudoscience. It's not science at all. There are many dissenting voices in the scientific community. But it doesn't matter. The result of it, the result of a disorganization or of a global problem, in this case of protocol number two, an economic war, is that there has to be a international government, a body to take care of it on a large scale. So however the thing came into being, the solution is always, we need a global government. So in my opinion, Obama has put policies in place that have led to the destruction of the economy, because maybe he thinks these are going to work. Like, the more taxes, the better things are going to be, just like the Christian religion. Well, the more we preach, the better, the more the message will get through. So they think that the volume is the problem, not content. And so they're continuously teaching false things. And so people turn away harder and harder the more and more they put this crap out. So they don't realize that that's the problem. So maybe Obama actually thinks that high taxes is how you solve economic distress. And the economy gets worse and worse, and he thinks, okay, I guess the taxes aren't high enough, when really he's on a completely wrong track. On the other hand, it could be he's doing it on purpose. Okay, this could be he's actually doing it on purpose. He's not so stupid. He went to Economics 101, and he knows what high taxes does to the economy, and he wants the economy to tank so that a global economy can take its place and the United States may be reduced. It could be. It could be. I don't have to see it that way, and you don't have to see it your way. All we need to do is look at results. Number three, methods of conquest. That's kind of vague because nothing is said there, methods of conquest. Ooh, number four, my Lord, my sweet Lord, number four. I'm going to start with number four tomorrow. It has to do with my favorite topic of religion. Haha, you know that that's a big joke. You know that. All right, I'm going to go. I have some bouillabaisse on the stove. I have some evenly cut cucumbers I need to eat to refresh myself and to stoke up my energy to get through these protocols. When I get through the protocols, we're going to go back to the book. Haven't read from here in a while. We're going to go back to the unveiling of Jesus Christ as written by A. Enoch, his commentary on the intoxicant of Babylon, and we're going to look into the destruction of Babylon. By that time, we might be on the next chapter of the book of Revelation. Ooh, can you imagine that? I'm going to try to.